The Bible, Psalm 105. My plan tonight is just to make a few comments and not be too long on the psalm here, and then we're going to have a short time of prayer. I want to say to you, when we come to the time of prayer, if you're wanting to pray and you're too uncomfortable or with your mask on, then we will understand if you change that situation just while you're praying. And we do trust that we'll have that season of prayer tonight, and then we'll go. I don't know what time we'll leave at, but we will see how it goes. So we're in Psalm 105 and verse 1. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord." And that is something for us to consider tonight. We're here to seek him. And when we do that, he gladdens our hearts. We may wrestle in prayer, and sometimes our thoughts wander. But whenever we do wrestle, there is that rejoicing that comes to our hearts. And seeking him, it says in verse 4, "Seek the Lord and his strength." Well, of course, that's what we always do. And we're remembering tonight those who are in the front line and have to go in every day and face situations that we don't want to be in, that the Lord would strengthen them. "Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth." And I want to stop there and say it is important to remember what the Lord has done before. There have been other times when pestilences and viruses have come to the United Kingdom, and there were God's people then, and they were praying. It was very, very difficult times, and they were praying, but the Lord preserved his witness and his work, and he kept the word of God being preached, and he can do that again. There are considerable difficulties, and speaking to the different men, or some of them, and listening to them, there's great uncertainty. And this whole thing has had a real impact on the witness of our churches, especially regarding work with boys and girls and Sunday school. For some of us, it will be basically like going back to scratch, start from scratch when we start all over again. But the Lord knows, and it's important to remember that, as we read here, remember his marvelous works that he hath done. Now, I want you to go on down with me, please, there, if you would, to verse 13, where the Lord is talking here. The Holy Spirit has recorded this. It's about his people. It says, "When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was led in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free." Amen. We'll end the reading there. If you look with me there, please, in verse 15. You will notice there the word prophets. Well, the word prophets there, in the original language that this part of the Bible was written in, there are several words, of course, that are translated prophet. But the word that is used here is the word nabai. And it is a word from the root which means to show. It means to show something. It is referring to someone who shows by speaking as God's ambassador. You remember Ezra the scribe and the word being read then. And you know all about Isaiah. He was a great spokesman for the Lord. He was the Lord's ambassador. But you know, folks, he was no less the Lord's ambassador than you and me. And the word here, as I said, it means to show, to speak as God's ambassador, referring to you and I speaking for the Lord. It has another interesting meaning, or a very interesting meaning. And the word nabai, it's from a root, it means to boil, meaning to bubble like a fountain. I'm sure you've been to some, maybe somewhere here or in some other country, and you've seen a fountain there, and it's bubbling over. And the thought behind the word really is to pour forth words from a bubbling heart. That's it really. To show or to speak as God's ambassador and to do it from a full heart or a bubbling heart. It's referring to internal ardor or what we call zeal in God's people. And it's so important, folks, that we maintain that, even in spite of this coronavirus pandemic. And anyone, of course, can sound like, can be like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, but that is not the way to do it. What we do, whether we're preaching or whether we are speaking as God's ambassadors in the hospital or in the shop or the school or wherever it is, we want to do so from that heart that is like a fountain bubbling over, a heart that is full and is speaking because of zeal. And that being the case, of course, we want to do that in these days. We think, first of all, here, and we're looking just at the word prophets, really, here at the minute, in verse 15, we think of burden. If your heart is bubbling over and there's zeal there, you will have a burden. And you think of Ezekiel and Daniel and Jeremiah, and they all carried really, really heavy burdens, but they had a burden for the people around them. Sometimes, especially Jeremiah, it seemed that year after year after year after year, and thousands of messages, nobody was interested in listening to him. And in Ezekiel as well, and Daniel and his few friends sometimes seemed to plough a very lonely furrow. But they were burdened men. They were burdened men. And Jeremiah and Daniel, they all burdened men, and they all knew something about the nature of man. They knew that man's nature was sinful, and in some of the cases with them, and certainly today, there is that desire to try to give respectability to sin. We hear all about rights and equality as far as that is concerned, and as the years go by, it's been pushed upon society to see something as respectable that is really obnoxious to the Lord. Now, we've talked about the changing of traditional marriage and how it should be, and also the abortion situation, and there are other things too, and it'll be more common. And man wants to give a respectability to his sin, and you and I know about man's sinful nature, but we must have a burden for the lost, because there's so many that are so far from the Lord. Jeremiah, I've mentioned him, and maybe we'll stick with him. He knew about man's nature. He knew about man's need. The only answer to man's need was Christ. And today, and maybe over the next few weeks, people have more time to think. And as the focus of the news and so on is upon disease and upon people passing away, people have more reason to think. And you and I tonight would want to pray for them as we remember their nature, very sinful, far from God. Remember their need, but also remember tonight their neglect, because many lives cry out, no God. They cry out, no God. And I don't need to go beyond, as I often say to you here, I don't need to go beyond my own relatives to find this, to see this nature, to see the need, and to be very, very conscious of the neglect. But if you and I will stay in tune with the Lord, and we will be those who want to show or to speak as His ambassadors and to live as His ambassadors, and we do it from a full heart. Remember the word there, to boil or to bubble like a fountain. There will be a burden there, but there will be the bearing. That is the bearing of precious seed. If you would turn, please, to the Psalm 126, just a few pages over there. We've looked at it before, not going to go through it all again. In fact, I've drawn your attention to it on several occasions. But he says there in verse 6, "He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." And we did draw some lessons from that, that how the going forth with the precious seed is important. And the word going forth there actually refers to a drawing forth. And that is what the seed does. it speaks to men and women. The Holy Spirit uses the word and people become convicted and they turn to the Lord. But in the context here, the psalmist is saying, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. But before that, they're speaking of revival blessing. Speaking of revival blessing and how the Lord has done great things for them, how it's all changed, and even the heathen are looking on and saying the Lord hath done great things for them. Really what he's saying here in verses 5 and 6 is, we've now proved. We've now proved that he that goeth forth, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy, and he that goeth forth weeping beareth precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. These are dark days. And listening to some stories, some of our churches are, whether it's here on the mainland, it is exceptionally hard at the moment. It's hard everywhere. But it is exceptionally hard. But men who want to show or speak as God's ambassadors and have a heart for the lost, keep on sowing. They can't do it as we usually do, perhaps, with children's work and all the opportunities that we get. We can't have even evangelistic missions just at the moment in the church. We know that. But please do remember the online ministry. It is not something that I would have chosen. But as you know, we have now, well, three little messages up, one on Monday, one on Thursday, one on Friday, and then there's going to be probably one on Wednesday and two on Sunday, so I'm going to be half living on it. And do pray for that as well, that the Lord would use the word. We're very thankful that there's such a thing, to be able to sow the seed. But we're not stupid. We know that while God's people may listen to these things, and we know that some do, and may benefit from them as well, we know that too. Unsaved people are not going to be queuing up to sit down before their computer to listen to a gospel message that tells them they're a sinner. They're not going to be queuing up to do that. So we want to pray the churches, if they close, that they will open up again before too long. But there is that burden and that bearing, and no one did it better than Jeremiah, or for longer, 50 years. One convert we know of, I think. And he kept on going. But there is beseeching. And that reminds us that if you have a burden and you go to bear the seed, you will have to be casting yourself upon the Lord continually, asking him to prepare the ground. And only the Lord can prepare the ground. Sometimes we get ourselves into a tizzy, wondering why people don't get saved when they come and listen to the word. But we're often brought to remember again that salvation is of the Lord. And he prepares the heart. The ground is to be prepared. The Spirit must work, and the Spirit of God does work when people like you and I pray. You've got loved ones, you want to see them saved. You don't want to look back and say, well, they're gone. They didn't make a profession and I didn't pray for them. That's what we don't want to do. We must pray that the Spirit of God would work, and he does work in answer to prayer for his people. The ground needs to be prepared. The Lord does that. The Spirit, and we pray to that end that God would move. The Spirit moves in answer to our prayers. And again, tonight, as we come and seek the Lord together, let's pray from a burden. Remembering those who have spent the past 10 or 11 months from this virus came around, and they spent it just as hard as ever, it seems. And no interest in salvation. Some of them, and I'm speaking here about ones, some I know very well in other parts of the country, and some of them related to me. And they used to go to church quite often, maybe nearly once a week, for unsaved people. And then when the first lockdown came and they weren't able to go to church, in all of that time from the 20th of June right through to now, some of them haven't been out in church three or four times altogether. Got out of that way of going, and they're not hearing the word. So tonight we want to look to the Lord for them, remembering whose we are, we're his. Remembering what we are now, we are his ambassadors. And remembering the opportunity that we have, we can seek the Lord in prayer this evening. Again, and we thank you for coming, and we trust that the Lord will bless these few thoughts that I've shared with you from Psalm 105, and will help us to pray here tonight again.